Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, how we thank you again for this morning. We're able to lift our hearts up in praise and adoration to you. You are the King, you are the Lord, our Savior, our blessed Redeemer. We thank you, Jesus, for the past week, for the past several days, even this morning. Though there may be times where it was quite hectic and our heads were spinning, but at the same time, Lord, there were those special divine moments that we had with you and you with us. The longing of our hearts, Lord, is to know you more intimately and personally, to grow in your likeness. You know every need, every situation, Lord, as a body. You know the cry of our hearts as well. And in light of John's writing here in the Gospel of John, Lord, as you spent time with your disciples and you shared with them about their joy, the joy that they can experience from you is to be complete, to experience your fullness. Indeed, Lord, that is the cry of our heart, with so many other issues at stake as well. And so, Lord, as your dear people, they've gathered here to listen, to worship, but also, Lord, that as you moved upon the heart of whether the Apostle John, or we think of the Apostle Paul, as we'll look at in a short time here, you moved upon their hearts and they wrote, so move in our hearts as well, that we will hear that it is you speaking to us. And we look forward to gathering around the table and partaking of the bread and the cup. And that, Lord, that our fellowship will be sweet and it'll be special and very intimate as well. So, Father, thank you again for your anointing, the covering of your blood, the name that is above all names, the name of Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, our Savior. Minister to our hearts, O Christ, we pray. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, that was an interesting text that was shared with you from there in John's Gospel there, John chapter 15. And over, as we read that, or as you watched that on the screen, and maybe perhaps some verses were very familiar, you know, with you, he talked about the importance of how we need to remain in Christ or to abide in Christ, recognizing the fact, you know, that he is the vine and we are the branches. And I don't know about you, you know, but this past winter season, you know, once everything kind of thawed out, so to speak, even though we're still experiencing some deep freezes every once in a while, you know, it's amazing, you know, they didn't call for a frost on Friday morning. And I don't know about how y'all was down here, you know, but where I lived at, we had a frost. And then they called for a frost, you know, Saturday morning and Sunday morning and didn't get one, at least where I lived at anyways, did not get one. I guess that's one job you can always keep, you know. You can always, you know, say what you want, you know, and be wrong about it, you know, and still have the job, being a weatherman. But I say that, you know, because through the winter months, you know, all the dead branches found their way on the ground. And usually, you know, which I have been, you know, and I did, you know, for some time, picked up all those dead branches and put them, I have a big old fire pit out back of my place, you know, and I knew that it was suitable. When the grass was still damp and wet, you know, I lit the fire, you know, and burn up all those branches. Very similar to the passage, you know, that we were hearing about, because that branch in and of itself, if I would just stick it in the ground thinking that it's going to grow, it's not going to grow. It's a dead branch. And, you know, how alive are you, you know, in your walk, in your journey with Jesus? And I trust, you know, as I kind of mentioned last week, you know, we're going to look at one of the fruit of the Spirit, which is that of joy. And Jesus wants us to experience that. you know, in our journey. He wants you to experience the fullness of his joy. And because in the world that we live in, you know, there is so much sadness and there is so much brokenness that we see. And a lot of people, they just aren't very, very, very joyful. And yet the Bible is just loaded, you know, with passages of scripture that reminds us of his joy. You know, we think there of places we know that which says there, you know, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice, and we will be glad in it. Exactly. You know, this is the day. Not just, you know, this is Saturday, so be glad, or this is Monday, be glad, or this is Sunday. He said, this is the day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. He has made it for you. He knows what's to come about. You know, I had a wonderful experience, you know, visiting some friends of mine that I haven't seen in about 50 years. It was just this past Thursday. I had to travel up near beyond Westover to see them, an hour's drive. And I saw an old classmate of mine. His name was Tom Bennett. Hadn't seen him for about 50-some years. And, you know, I pulled into his driveway. He had no idea I was coming, you know, so it was just going to be a surprise visit. You know, like Jesus, you know, he kind of shows up unexpectedly. And I thought, you know, well, I'm going to show up unexpectedly as well, you know, to this gentleman that I haven't seen for X amount of years. Now, I knew he never married, from what I could recall at the time, you know, not seeing him for these many years. And hopefully, you know, I got to the right house as well. I had an idea of where he lived, but just, I thought, well, I'll just drop in, and if he's not still there, hopefully the people who are there can tell me where he lives. Well, needless to say, as I knocked at the door, he comes, and it was Tom Bennett. And right away, you know, he recognized who I was. And, you know, it was just that sense of joy, you know, the companionship that we once had. Of course, we did a lot of reminiscing, as you do, when you haven't seen someone, you know, for about 50-some years. You know, as far as where he's been, what his journey has been like, you know, because he's about a couple years older than me. And just sharing those thoughts and those stories, you know, with one another that we had. And the crazy things that we did even as teenagers. And I often refer to his pap. I said, you know, your pap had the uncanny ability that if we were in some mischief, you know, even good mischief as well, he would know about it. Or he would come up, or he would show up on the scene. One day, you know, we were all fishing, you know, and back, you know, where we lived at. It was out in the country, you know. They had this big old pond. And so we fished at this pond. Well, all of us boys, maybe the boys need to close their ears, you know, this part anyways, you know, because hopefully they won't do something like this like we did, you know. But we decided, you know, around the pond to set it on fire. You know, the weeds and the grass and so forth. And we thought that was nuts. And guess who showed up? Pap showed up. And he, in no uncertain terms, told, you know, Tom and Fred, that was his brother, you know, you better put this out. I know what your boys are up to, you know, but you better put it out right now. And another time we were out in the woods building a log tree house, you know, and that was a day, you know, you played outside. You all remember those days? You didn't play inside. You just played something to do outside. And we decided to, you know, and Chuck, that was another brother, he would chop down all these trees, maybe about, you know, 6 inches or maybe smaller than that, 4 inches in circumference with an axe. And then we would chop them all up and we would just build this log house. Well, Pap found out about it. And Pap comes on the scene because I think because one reason, he was missing some nails that we kind of, as boys, you know, we kind of helped ourselves too. And so we were building, you know, this log cabin. We had it almost complete, you know, because Pap found out about it eventually. And he comes onto the scene, you know, and he talks to Fred. He never talks to me, you know, because I'm just kind of the outside kid, you know, but he talks to Fred and Tom. And he said, boys, he said, do you know where you cut these trees? Where did they come from? And they said, oh, just down the woods there a little bit. Now, you know that is not my property. That is on someone else's property. And they probably do not want those trees to be cut down. Oh, and guess what? That ended the building of the the log treehouse because Pap had spoken. And, you know, and it's just stories like that, you know, that we would share with one another. And then I looked at Tom, you know, as I shared with Josiah the other day when I was with him. I said, you know, Tom, I said, I know that you were never really, you know, for, you know, as far as the religious aspect or anything like that, you know, relationship. I said, but Tom, you know, and Tom didn't know that I became a pastor because I kind of moved out of the scene, you know, with that. I said, but Tom, you know, I want you to know there's always hope, and that is found in Christ Jesus. And I said, and the hope that I do have, I said, Jesus is still making a change, you know, in my life. He's been doing some wonderful things in my life. And I said, my prayer for you, you know, is you will find that same hope in Christ Jesus as well. Because the memories that he had with Pap, especially, I mean, he had his parents, you know, but there's always something about, you know, a grandparent. As I often remember about my Pap, my grandparent as well. You know, those special moments, you know, that you had with him. Though my Pap, you know, he was the strong, silent type. And when he would speak, you know, you better pay attention to what he had to say. But for his Pap, you know, it just brought tears to his eyes because he missed those times with his Pap, you know, those special moments. And I told him, I said, well, Tom, you know, with Christ, you know, there is always hope that's found in Christ. And he said, well, Rich, he said, that's good to know. He just didn't want to make that step yet, that commitment yet at that time. But as I said to Josiah, sometimes in life, you know, when you meet people that you haven't seen for, at least for me, haven't seen them for about 50-some years, you know, to even sometimes just to plant a seed and trusting God that it will just take root in their hearts and come to fruition, you know, in God's time and God's way. And when I got ready to leave, of course, we shook hands, you know, not seeing each other. He said, Rich, he said, if you're ever in the area again, please stop by. He said, you don't realize how much this meant to me that we had this time together for 50-some years. And he kept saying, you know, where has the time gone? You know, I mean, I could have done other things at home. You know, I could have easily found those things, but just to go and make that visit. Then I made one other visit, you know, with a family who were very supportive of me when I was called into the ministry. And bless their hearts, you know, he just turned 92 on Friday. She is turning 90 today. And they still live in the same farmhouse that they always lived. They always remember me when I used to work in the sawmill, that I would go by their house probably about 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, and I would just literally, and I knew they were farmers, you know, so I knew that they got up early in the morning, you know, to milk the cows or feed the chickens or whatever, you know, so I knew they were early risers, you know, and I would just lay on the horn. it was just a thing, you know, just a crazy thing, you know, but they knew it was me. They knew it was me, and they just enjoyed, you know, knowing I was kind of going by their place. But, you know, talking to Charlie, you know, he said, you know, Rich, he said, it's going to be 67 years for us as a married couple this coming July. He said, but it's hard for us to get around now because of arthritis. Uncle Arthur has kind of taken over and other issues that, you know, health issues that they have as well. Of course, he no longer farms now. In fact, he even told me, he said, Rich, he said, I got to do one thing now. He said, you know, I got my, you know, application for my driver's license. And guess what he said? He said, it's no more. He said, I can't drive anymore. He said, I know it wouldn't be safe. He said, thankfully, our daughters, they live close by, which they do, because he had, you know, a huge spread there on the farm. And so at one end of the farm, the one daughter and husband, they live. And the other end of the farm, the other daughter and the husband, they live as well. And then I think their other daughter lives down in a town called Mahaffey. Is where she lives at, you know. So the daughters live close by, so they're able to help them to get to places where they need to be. But, you know, it was just such a, and he remembers, I said, because I made reference, do you remember the day that I was called into the ministry? And they said, yeah, because they were there. They were right behind me when I was at the altar praying, and they were praying right there behind me. You know, so you know, don't let the time get by you If there's people that you haven't seen in a long time and you think about them every now and then, either give them a call or write them a note or maybe drop by and visit. Because sometimes you'll just never realize how much that can have an impact on their lives. And Charlie and Mary, they're getting up in their years. They're not very mobile anymore. She's on a walker, and he's on a cane, just trying to get around, but Mary kept saying, she said, and she was very repetitive, and so it's almost like, I was seeing signs of dementia there. I could be wrong about that. I hope I'm wrong about that, but the thing she kept repeating all the time was this statement, Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. And I said, Mary, you're right. The way the world is going and how things are unfolding right now, Jesus is coming soon. And maybe a lot sooner than we realize as we see things, unfolding in the world that we live in today. And then Charlie said the same thing as Tom said as well when I got ready to leave. Charlie looked at me, and he said, Rich, he said, I want you to know this visit meant the world to us. Now, I never thought I'd get emotional on these kind of things. Okay, but I guess maybe it's not tears of sadness. I want you to know that. It's not tears of sadness. It is tears of joy. I never dreamt that I would see these folks again. But God allowed the time just to have just some moments, with them. And thankfully, my sister, that's a year younger than me, she had supper for me. So it wasn't, after I was done with all my visits, then I dropped by her place before I came home. And by the time I got home, just traveling and being with those dear folks, I was mentally, I was exhausted. I really was. And it was a good way. It was a good, way. I share that with you, because, we're looking at the term joy. And there is joy, when we have those special moments with people and those special moments that we have with Jesus. He just kind of rekindles. I kind of read that this morning there in 2 Timothy, how to rekindle the fire, to rekindle the gift that God has given to you. Don't ever let that gift, that fire, die out, but let it be rekindled. And maybe perhaps let the joy be rekindled in your soul and your spirit as well. And as you read, as we looked at there in John chapter 15, let God say, Lord, as I read about that, this joy being complete and experiencing your fullness, because Paul prayed for fullness there to the church of Ephesus there in chapter 3, that we be filled with the full measure of the fullness of God. And I trust, that in your journey that you're experiencing his overwhelming fullness. As we touch and make a difference in the lives of so many people. And I guess maybe that's one thing that the Lord reminded me of, in meeting with these folks, here, just 2 or 3 days ago. Sometimes you never realize the impact that you have on one's life. And then to hear it, from them. I thought, Lord, I don't deserve this. But it's almost like the Lord would say to me, but you needed to hear that, and that's okay. That is okay. We're going to look in the letter now. You can turn there now if you have your Bibles there. Paul's letter to the church of Philippi. I'm going to kind of give a very brief outline of it. We're going to unpack it, in the weeks ahead. And I believe there's a key verse also that we need to be reminded of. And you can underline those key verses as we look at it there in Paul's letter to the Philippians. Because this letter is a letter, just only 4 chapters. It is saturated with joy. I mean, Paul was in a dangerous position. He could have been easily discouraged. He was in a very uncomfortable environment as well. Paul was in prison. He was chained to a Roman soldier. And at the same time, he could have been faced, not persecution, but it could have been executed as well. He knew all of that. how bad that it was for the Apostle Paul. But Paul made a choice, and that was to be joyful, to be joyful. You look at chapter 1, and like I said, we're going to unpack this chapter, you know, but I believe the key verse in chapter 1 is verse 21. And there Paul says this, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." It's almost like what Paul is telling us, that no matter what the world throws at me or what the world throws at you, you always need to keep in perspective what's really important. And what is really important, you know, in the journey that we are on, you know, is whom are we living for? Whom do we serve? Whom do we love? Whom do we appreciate? Now, we appreciate friends and we appreciate family. And I appreciated my time that I spent, you know, with Tom and Charlie and Mary. Those are very wonderful times that we had together to exchange, you know, that fellowship with each other. But who made that all possible? It was God. I never, you know, three months ago, I never said in my mind, you know, I think I'm going to visit Tom Bennett. I haven't seen him in a while. Or I'm going to visit Charlie and Mary, not knowing that Mary was going to turn 90 today. I had no idea about that. But you know who God used? Of all things, you know, he brought into my path, you know, my youngest sister, Sally. And I saw Sally maybe about 3 weeks ago, and Sally said this is my younger sister. You know, she's about 15 years younger than me, so she's still my baby sister. And she said to me, she said, "Rich, you never guess who I ran into." And of course, I thought, you know, up in Clearfield, I wouldn't have an idea who she would run into. She said, "I ran into Tom Bennett." We got talking, and she said, of all things, you know, he has been wondering what you've been doing, where you've been at. And if you've ever been up in the area, you know, they're in a little small town called Bethlehem. That's where I used to live. Small suburb of Mahaffey, the metropolis of Mahaffey. If you know Mahaffey, it's not really all that big. Okay, but we lived up on the hill, you know, a little town of Bethlehem. It really was up there. And he said, you know, if he's ever in the area, have him drop by. And so it's almost God used my little sister not knowing to mention that to trigger something in my mind of where God wanted me to be. And then my other sister, who's a year younger than me, called me last week, you know, and said to me, you know, "Guess who's going to be 90 today?" Well, I knew it wasn't my sister, you know. I knew that. and she said, "Mary Robaugh, she's going to be turning 90. And she kind of said to me, my sister always tells me what I need to do, even though I'm older than her, you know, but she's kind of like the one, you know, she's the one that kind of takes charge and tells me, you know, "Rich, you need to be doing this." She just said, "I think it'd be nice if you would send, you know, a card to them, you know." And I thought, well, duh, okay. Don't need to be reminding me, but I thought, oh, that's all right, you know, you can do that. Then I thought, you know, even though I got a card, I thought, you know, I think it would be better than a card if I just drop by and visit them. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Lord, help me to keep you at the forefront of all that I do and all that I say. And that takes work, because there are days, you know, I have my to-do list of what I want to do and what I want to accomplish in a particular day or in a particular week. But every morning, to be who God wants me to be, to live for Jesus, and to serve him. Have I missed opportunities? I probably sure have. It's life. But I try to seize upon those moments to serve Jesus. Paul had his circumstances. He had his crises. He had times of confrontation. He had times, you know, conflict. But in the midst of all of it, Paul was able to experience joy because he knew what his purpose was all about in life, no matter where he was at. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Chapter 2, the key verse, I believe, there is in verse 3. And there it says in verse 3, Josiah, I need light. That's better, yes, thank you, thank you. Okay, look at what it says in verse 3 there. It says there, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider whom? Others. Better than yourself. Always think of others. We live in a world, you know, where it's me, what I want. And yet Paul is saying, if you want joy, not only do you need to be focused upon serving Jesus, you need to be thinking about others as well. And he gives four examples in chapter 2, which we'll unpack. You know, first one being Jesus Christ. Because Jesus came to serve, not to be served, but to serve. Paul talks about himself as well as being a drink offering, pouring out himself and touching the lives of other people. He talks about Timothy, and he talks about Epaphroditus as well in this passage here in chapter 2. And so as you look at each individual, you see their role of how they thought not of themselves, but how they thought of ways to minister in spite of what they may be feeling or going through. Because as you read about Epaphroditus, I'd like to have a name like that. Hey, Epaphroditus. I don't know. But anyways, you know, as you think about Epaphroditus was almost to the point of dying. But he thought of a way to serve. We are here to serve, to think of others. And as we do, we'll experience his joy as we will unpack that one. Chapter 3, as we will look at that passage as well and unpack it. But I believe, you know, the key verse, which is one of my favorite ones there in that passage, is chapter 3, verse 10, key verse there. Where our goal in life, as we think about living for Jesus, as we think about, you know, as far as thinking of others, all possible because my desire, as Paul says, my goal in life, in 3, verse 10. Oh, is he putting it up there? Okay. I was wondering why are they all looking up there? I'm sorry, Josiah. Thank you. I appreciate that. Great. Okay. Yeah. Okay. We can get it. Okay. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. That ought to be your goal in life. We have all kinds of goals, but that one, to know Jesus. And as we spend time with Jesus and experience his power flowing through us, and even through times of suffering and pain and heartache and sadness that we all go through, because we're not exempt because we're believers in Christ, you know, doesn't mean you're exempt from all of these negative things. It does happen to us, but it's conforming us into his very likeness. Because we can honestly say with Jesus, you know, Jesus, this day I'm not very happy. I'm going through a rough time. And Jesus will say, you know, I know that. But let's spend some time together. And as we spend time with him, he enriches our lives with his peace and with his comfort. He will do that. Then finally, chapter 4, verse 19. That my God is able to meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I challenge you to memorize these verses. Or just read them over and over again. But he will meet all of your need. And if you lack joy, keep in mind, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is already in there because you, as a believer in Christ, you know Jesus. The Spirit is there. As you remain in him and as you abide in him, guess what's going to come out of your life? His joy. His joy. So it's there. It is there. Tap into it. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, he will bring it out of your life. He will supply all of your need. And there's so much more in chapter 4 that we'll unpack as we get into that particular chapter as well. I just wanted to highlight those four chapters with those four verses for you to ponder upon. But it all begins, if we're going to put it into practice, when we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, a non-believer, this is not going to make any sense to them. Oh, they may think they know, but it's not going to happen until you know Jesus as your Savior. But also be willing to admit your failures and your shortcomings. To confess and say, Lord, today I have not been very joyful. I've been downright angry. I've been downright sad. I've been unhappy with the way things are going lately. I know my life is a wreck. And I need joy. Admit that. Because He will supply what is lacking in your life. He may bring people into your life that you may experience the joy that He longs to provide for you. And to fill your mind, you know, not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There in Romans 12, verse 2. Transform. That's why I pointed out these four verses. Just work at it. Memorize it. Not just for the sake of a to-do list, you know, but y'all can do it. If I would come up to you and y'all say, give me your phone number. Well, maybe some of you might be hard-pressed to give me that number. But some of you may be able to remember it. And not that I would ever ask for this, you know, but your social security number? You still remember that? Somebody put, let me see. In your mind, you're probably reciting it, you know, I don't know. Which tells me, you know, for surely you know where you live. You know how to get there, don't you? Well, yeah, it's down the road, make a right, you know. It's all memorized, it's all up there. So you do have the ability to memorize. Renew your mind with God's word. And I believe, you know, when you begin to memorize, even Philippians 1, verse 21, if you don't memorize a verse, you know, just concentrate maybe just on this verse alone, Philippians 1, 21, for at least for 3 weeks. I guarantee by the end of 3 weeks you haven't memorized. You probably have it memorized by now. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But then ask yourself, Lord, what does that mean to me personally? How can I serve you this day? And then maybe paraphrase chapter 2, verse 3. Lord, I want to think of others more than I want to think of myself. You can paraphrase it. That makes it easy for you to memorize. And Jesus, my desire is to know you. And even if it means suffering. And also, Lord, you will supply every need that I have. I'm trusting you for that. That's why communion is so special. You see what you may be lacking, what you need in life. And as you take of the bread, and as you take of the cup, you can ask the Lord, Lord, I need to be renewed in my faith. I've been challenged. And I know lately I have been very, very joyful. But this day as I take of that bread, and this day as I take of that cup, I want to feast upon the riches of your glory and of your presence. Because in your presence there is fullness of joy. He will show you the path. As they're in Psalm 16, verse 11. In his presence is fullness of joy. His presence is always with you. May you experience that as we partake of these elements together. Let's pray, and then I'll ask Ron and Rodney if you would come, and we'll get prepare our hearts for communion, okay? Father, thank you again for this day, this Lord's Day. We now prepare our hearts to partake of the bread and of the cup. And Paul exhorts us to examine our hearts to see where we are in our relationship with you, as he writes that there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Knowing that this is a very solemn time, a very special time of our fellowship with you, to experience your joy, Lord. For us to live as Christ and to die as gain. To be thinking more of others than we think of ourselves. To know you and the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your suffering, being conformed to your very likeness. Knowing that you will supply every need according to your glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Lord, you're able. As we take of this cup, as we take of the bread, your fullness, Lord, to be complete, not only in us, but through us as well. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Gentlemen. Again, just as a reminder, you know, this is not because you are a member of the Clappertown Alliance Church, but rather you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not sure about your relationship with Jesus, now would be the time that you can simply say, Jesus, before I take of this communion, I invite you into my life, into my soul, into my spirit, so that I will experience such joy and such peace and such love that you have for me today. And when you do that, believe me, Jesus will come. He will enter your life. Know in your heart he will do that. And thus take of the bread and take of the cup. We ask that when you receive the bread to hold on until I give the instructions as far as when we partake together. And upon receiving of the bread, Jesus said to his disciples, as he says to us today, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So let's partake. Once again, Jesus, we acknowledge that you are the bread of life. We can feast on other things for the nourishment of our body, physically, but all to nourish upon what you offer us is satisfying and fulfilling. And we thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. In your merciful name we pray. Amen. This cup is the new covenant of my blood, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me. Jesus, thank you again for your cleansing, for your blood, for your wholeness, for your Spirit, who's here with us and will be with us as we walk out the doors, as we drive to our homes, as we go throughout the work week. Your Spirit will be with us. May we always keep that in mind, to know that you're watching over and you will supply every need. And may we experience the fullness of your joy in this coming week, more so than ever before. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. In closing, let us all stand and we'll sing together, "Rejoice, the Lord is King."